All right, everybody, I welcome you here to our January 2019 FNC Office Hours. FNC, Functional Nutrition Coach, and our presenter today is Susan Desmarais. I have known Susan for, 2-3 years now, and I have been impressed with her from day one, that very first conversation we had. And I've always felt strongly that Susan knows her stuff, and it's not because, I mean, she's brilliant, but what's brilliant about her is that she just has thirst for knowledge, that she just seeks in this passion to know things. And it's not just because she has a library that she needs to fill up. It's because she has seen for her own life and in her family's life how this information is necessary. She's seen it bring herself and her colleagues into a sense of balance. There we go. Well, I think we got it. There we go. All right. Anyway, I'm really excited that Susan is going to share that information with us so that she can bring us into a deeper understanding of our own body, so that with that awareness, we can move along. So welcome, Susan.
Thank you, Lynn. That was a generous introduction. It's crazy. I've been trying to get through some modules. And, every morning I have the recordings on, or, it's something from the Fasting Summit. And every day I'm listening to something. And Rita Marie said in one of the CMDS modules that it's going to be the repetition that's going to, really get you speaking the language and understanding it. And finally, after 2.5 years, it's becoming more comfortable for me, the terminology. So that's kind of interesting. So hopefully what I share with you guys today will in some way, shape, or form, on some level, sink in a little bit. We know that Dr. Rita Marie talks an awful lot about heart math, awareness of your breathing. A lot of the time in our wellness journey, we think about the high-hanging fruit rather than the low-hanging fruit. And I really feel like the breath is the low-hanging fruit that's sitting right in front of you, and you're not picking that low-hanging fruit. And it's absolutely critical to everything that we're doing. You can take all the supplements that you want, get all the tests that you want, but if you're not breathing properly, you're going to find that you'll get stuck in so many different ways. So I'm really happy to share this with you. I'm going to go ahead and do a share screen and click on this. Okay, now, can you guys see this? The medical disclaimer? Okay, good. All right, so the typical medical disclaimer, right, that this is intended as a sharing of knowledge and information from the research and experience that I've done as a yoga teacher and a functional nutrition coach. You're encouraged to make your own healthcare decisions based upon your research and in partnership with a qualified healthcare professional. The presentation is for informational purposes only. There's no guarantees, promises, representations, or warranties of any kind regarding specific or general benefits, so on and so on. You guys know the disclaimer. I can share this with you as a PDF, so you'll have all of this. Now, let me press play. Good idea. Okay, so I thought I would start with, now why didn't that save? Hold on a second, I'm just curious why. Ah, okay, I know why. I have two of these and one is copy. And that's the one that I want. There we go. This is the one we want. All right, so I'm going to stop share and going to go back to share. And we're going to do this one. Yeah, okay. Good. All right. Now I've got this box in the way. Let's go over here. All right. All right. Oh, it just did the other one again. Darn it. Sorry, you guys. I'm going to close this.
It looked good in terms of what we saw.
Well, you'll see. Now, okay. Is this going to be the right one? What's going on here? Why won't it give me the copy one? Oh. Well, I might have to go with that one, Lynn. Okay, so here's this one, and I'm going to close this one. All right. All right, here we go. Move this out of the way. Sorry, you guys. All right. I did it again. Okay. So starting out with the seven chakras and what we call in yoga the central channel of the body, right? And we're going to talk about this later, but the diaphragm in yoga is, and also in Chinese medicine, is the agent that connects the lower and upper part of the body, right? That's your connecting force. And so you can see where I call it north-south, right? So the southern part of the body is the first, second, and third chakra. And then we go into, or sorry, the first and second chakra, and then we go into the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh. Gosh, I wish I had the other one going here. So this is a quote from the grandfather of yoga. Breath is central to yoga because it's central to life, and yoga is about life. Everybody's got their own idea or experience with yoga in this country. It's evolved and morphed into so many different things. But the main premise of yoga is the breath. If you're not breathing properly, you aren't practicing yoga. So you might run into many teachers that are teaching the asanas, but not necessarily focusing on breath cues in a class. Right? And that's something that you really want to look out for in any kind of movement that you're doing with your body, is to make sure that the breath lines up with your movement. And I love the quote by BKS Iyengar, breath is the king of the mind. Many ask me whether pranayama postpones old age. Why worry about it? Death is certain. Let it come when it comes. Just keep working. The soul has no age. It doesn't die. Only the body decays. And yet we must never forget the body, since it is the garden we must cherish and cultivate. Krishnamacharya is on the upper left-hand corner. And you can actually see through his, what we call in yoga, pranayama practice, his breathing practice, you can see how he is consciously moving the diaphragm here, right? How he's actually taking he's very anchored from the pelvis down, and you can see how he's gone so far up with the breath into his rib cage that it goes up into his shoulders and his heart and his throat, right? It's a lovely picture. It's a real, it's lovely to see someone who's mastered the practice of pranayama. So this box is in my way and I can't find the arrow. I'm just going to unshare that for a minute so I can move this box so I can read. Okay. All right. For most of us, the diaphragm is a deep and mysterious part of the body. However, if we can understand it, this muscle can be a very valuable tool for our health and well-being. The diaphragm is often compared to a parachute based on the origin and insertion of the muscle and its shape inside the body. It originates on the lower border of the ribs all the way around the body. Unlike any other muscle in the body, it literally folds over on itself to create its insertion point. The insertion point is in the center of the body, and it's called the central tendon. So you can actually see that dome-like shape here. It's like a parachute. And oftentimes, an image that I'll give students when we're talking about, let's say, for instance, we're doing a heart opening pose that requires a big inhalation and a lot of space. Is that bee? Okay. We have ghosts in the machine. Okay. Where was I going with this? So it's about bringing the breath up into your heart, right? And so if you were to sit right now and take your hand so that your fingers, your fingertips are holding the front of your rib cage and the thumbs are holding the back of your rib cage. And if you were to anchor down through your pelvis, so is everybody able to sit in an upright seated position? Anchor your pelvis by taking your two sit bones down towards the seat of your chair. And I'm going to stop share for a second so that why can't I see my mouse here? I'm just going to press that. Okay. Now I'm going to do a stop share so you guys can see me. Okay. Lynn, I don't see myself, but that's okay. Anyway, you're going to take your, okay, you're going to take your fingers like this with your thumbs at the back, and you're going to hold your rib cage, right? And then anchor your sit bones down, anchor your tailbone down. And you might even feel what we call a full moon rising in the belly when you do that, right? And then hang on to your rib cage and take a deep breath in as you anchor the pelvis southbound, lift with your hands your rib cage northbound. Can you feel the expansion in your rib cage? And can you feel the lift that it's giving you? And can you feel how it moves up into the heart and into the throat? Did you guys get a sense of that at all? Yeah? Okay, good. Now, there was one other thing that I did want to share with you that, here we go. It's a YouTube video of BKS Iyengar doing inhalation and exhalation. And I'm going to share that with you. So here's screen share again. There you go. There he is. Okay. What do we do about that, Lynn? I think I can't use that, eh?
Right.
Yeah, I'm okay.
Everything is under control.
No, you're echoing.
Hi, Marcia. What'd you say?
You are echoing, echoing, echoing. You. Are you too close to your mic?
Well, my mic is off. Lindy, is my mic off?
And it was working just fine.
I know.
Maybe try muting the phone while you're playing the video, because the video is coming through your computer, right?
Yeah. Is your video
and now I'm unmuting my phone.
I'm trying to think what we, besides turning the video on. So I guess, and we can include like a link to it in the, when we go back, but if you can share what it is that he's saying, that's the best I can think of. And you're plugged into, are your earbuds plugged into your phone or your computer? Your phone? Okay.
Okay, is that working?
Yes.
Good. All right. So I'll just give you guys the link to that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. All right then. Okay. I'm going to go back to this. Good. Okay. So we saw this slide. I'm going to continue on. So the diaphragm and the parasympathetic nervous system. One of the most powerful elements of the diaphragm is its connection to the parasympathetic nervous system, which we're going to call the PNS. There's no way to directly connect to the PNS as part of the autonomic nervous system. The PNS pathway is controlled involuntarily, although we can influence this system indirectly. The diaphragm is one of the most powerful indirect influences on the PNS. When we look at the structure of the diaphragm, we see that the vagus nerve runs right through the esophageal hiatus of the diaphragm. The vagus nerve, the 10th cranial nerve, is the main circuitry of the PNS. It sends signals out from the PNS to the internal organs, telling them when to perform their functions. So you can see where the esophagus connects here, the inferior vena cava, and the aorta. So those are the three main veins that the diaphragm actually travels through on inhalation and exhalation, which I find quite fascinating.
Yeah.
And then the movement of the diaphragm around the vagus nerve stimulates the parasympathetic response. The more movement of the diaphragm, the more effect we have in stimulating the PNS. In order to stimulate the parasympathetic response, we simply need to be practicing diaphragmatic breathing. This is much easier said than done for various reasons, such as poor posture, stress, and general tension. So you can see the vagus nerve here, and you can see all the things that the vagus nerve stimulates, including the mind, the brain. And then, you know, we're all sitting in front of our devices, as we do a lot during the day. It's really important to sit upright, and you can see how the rib cage in the image on the bottom right is folded forward. And not only are you going to run into structural issues because of this, right, eventually kyphosis in the thoracic spine. By the way, this particular diaphragm we're talking about is called the thoracic diaphragm. So you can see kyphosis in this particular person here. They're certainly well on their way, at least. The curving of the mid to upper back and the way that the head is jutting forward, the vertebra and the cervical spine are moving, they're moving out rather than in. So this is not a great posture for moving your diaphragm. I thought this was a very interesting diagram of the diaphragm. The second connection we see is through the natural cadence of the breath and its connection to the heart rate. When you inhale, the heart rate naturally increases. This occurs to speed up the filling of the low pressure environment of the lungs. As you exhale, the heart rate naturally slows down to avoid excess pressure in the arteries of the lungs. The changes in heart rate with breathing is referred to as respiratory sinus arrhythmia. The autonomic nervous system modulates the heart rate through pressure receptors in the arteries. As the heart rate increases on inhalation, your body creates a sympathetic response. As the heart rate decreases on exhalation, your body creates a parasympathetic response. In this way, the diaphragm becomes the mediator of the ANS and can be a powerful regulator of the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system. When we look at this aspect of the breath, we see our ability to differentiate the parasympathetic and sympathetic with the different aspects of the breath we emphasize. By emphasizing the exhalation, we increase parasympathetic tone and help encourage the rest and digest response of the PNS. And what the image that came to mind, I don't know if you guys have seen any of the footage recently of this young gymnast who, I think it was in California somewhere, they showed this fantastic young gymnast who had a very joyous way of approaching her floor routine. Did any of you guys see that by chance? Oh, I can't hear you. But in any case, every time she would prepare for a very big segment of her routine, you could see her gather up her breath. She would take a really deep breath and then run into her flips and everything else that she was doing. So she was using the exhalation to execute the actual, what we would call the difficult part of the routine, right? Inhaling deeply to kind of get ramped up, and then she starts running and exhales into these difficult movements. It's the same thing in yoga. You prepare your pose or any other kind of body work that you're doing. You prepare your, in the case I'm going to speak of yoga, prepare your pose by taking a deep inhalation. And then as you move into the pose, you exhale. And you have so much more ability to relax into what you're doing rather than fighting against it. So here we're going to look at the energetic connection of the diaphragm from a Chinese medicine perspective. There's several distinct roles that the diaphragm plays in the body on an energetic level. First of all, it has the capacity to regulate the flow of energy throughout the body. In Chinese medicine, the diaphragm is the gateway between the upper and lower parts of the body. Therefore, its job is to regulate the ascending and descending functions of the body. This is represented in our ability to transport qi, blood and fluids to the entire body to nourish the brain and the internal organs. It also manages the functions of respiration and digestion. Because of this, the diaphragm serves a vital role in regulating energy flow throughout the body. And then we go into the diaphragm and its impact on meridians. Another role of the diaphragm is the connection to all 12 main meridians. All 12 meridians pass through it either superficially or internally. Because each of these meridians connects internally to the organ, the diaphragm has tremendous potential to affect our bodies. The superficial meridians innervate the muscles and tissues, and the internal meridians control the deeper functioning of the internal organs. This also happens via the parasympathetic nervous system stimulation from the diaphragm. The regulatory functions of the diaphragm allow it to act as a moderator of yin and yang in the body. The diaphragm has the potential to be fierce and intense in its ability to nourish the body, thus behaving in a very yang way. It quickly steps into action when needed, like that gymnast in preparation for her routine, performing in instances such as sprinting, where we need a quicker exchange rate of oxygen in the body. However, for most of the day, our breath quietly meanders through its role in a quiet and seamless way, thus fulfilling more yin qualities in the body. It's this yin quality that calms the body into a state of grace in our lives. One of the most intriguing things about the diaphragm is its power to command nourishment to the entire body, and at the same time, its capacity to be effortless and soft in its transactions, embodying both yin and yang qualities, sometimes even simultaneously. It's the balance of masculine and feminine, or yin and yang, that commands our attention to this muscle in our lives and in our daily practices. The strength and delicacy that makes the diaphragm so powerful in both its efforts and effortless functions within the body are a powerful tool to be utilized. Stress and emotions. On a more emotional level, the diaphragm is also said to be the bridge or shield between the conscious and unconscious emotions in Chinese medicine. The diaphragm tends to be a place where we store unconscious emotional tension or grief. A breathing practice develops the ability to use the conscious regulation of this muscle to modulate that response. During times of high stress or emotional intensity, this muscle can get rigid and bound down, creating more problems from the decrease in oxygenation of the tissues that follows. Tension in the diaphragm can affect the parasympathetic nervous system response. This can contribute to the stress response cycle or affect the meridians that pass through it. This impact on the meridians has the power to affect the entire energetic system. Since the diaphragm has a strong connection to the digestive organs that sit beneath it, it can be a place of stored trauma causing tension or stress in the body. And I'll share with you an experience that I had with diaphragmatic breathing. I guess I was in my early 30s, and I was doing a lot of heart opening poses in a yoga class with one of my teachers. And I would say for about a week, I must have unlocked some of that old trauma that was stored in that area around the diaphragm. Because we were doing deep breathing, big heart openings, and I would just sob. This went on for about a week, and then it went away. I could feel things unlocking and moving. So I don't know if any of you have had that experience before, but we can share that after this presentation. And then, of course, on the left, you can see descriptions, different things that are yin, different things that are yang. As with many parts of our awareness practice, we can approach this from either end, this tightness of the diaphragm. We can look at sources of stress in our lives that may be perpetuating tension. Alternatively, we can work with the diaphragm to alter the internal stress responses of the body. The diaphragm can be an emotional storage point, or it can be a gateway to emotional processing, which is, you know, basically what I was just describing as my own experience. Either way, we can understand that it not only has massive implications for our physical and physiologic health, it's also deeply connected to our energetic and emotional health. With its ability to regulate the upward and downward movement in the body and its connection to the meridians, the diaphragm has the capacity to affect both the regulation of energy throughout the body as well as the functioning of the organs. Combine that with its connection to the PNS and its regulation of yin and yang and the emotions, we can see how powerful the effects of working with this one muscle can be from an Eastern and Western approach. You know, this is a muscle, and this is a muscle that needs to be connected with and worked with in order to keep the muscle toned. And so 9 times out of 10, before I teach a yoga class, we will start with a breathing practice, because to me, that's still yoga. We're working from the inner body rather than from the outer body. We're working our diaphragmatic muscle. I thought I would share some passive supine poses with you. There are going to be some other poses coming up, but you can see how different ways, because for many people, doing a breathing practice, especially in the beginning, can feel stressful in and of itself. And if you try to do it sitting up, just like if you were trying to do a seated meditation, sometimes it's better to start lying on your back, because the spine is supported, and you can just kind of drift back into the support of the earth under your spine and not have to worry about holding yourself up. And I like what the woman is doing on the upper far right, putting one hand on the lower belly and one hand on the heart, so that you can feel the way that the breath is traveling through you, and of course the way the diaphragm is traveling through you. It's a nice way to connect with the breath by actually touching that part of your body and feeling it move. And the upper left-hand corner shows a person simply lying on the floor. You can lie on a carpet. You can lie on a yoga mat, on a carpet, you know, whichever way you want to do it. And she has a rolled-up towel. Like, you don't need anything fancy. You could just take a rolled-up towel to support your cervical spine. And then she has her legs up on a chair with something soft under her heels, so that she's also benefiting from the inversion, the blood flow from the feet moving in the other direction, preferably back to the heart, right? So it's a very soft inversion that she's doing with the palms open, shoulders resting back. And what's nice about this is that you can feel the weight of your eyes sinking into the sockets. You can feel gravity drifting you back into the support of the earth. So it's a lovely way to start a breathing practice, the two upper images. The lower image is someone who's doing a classically yogic supported supine position, right? So it's very much an Iyengar kind of look here, where you see the building up of props. I can't see the top. Oh yeah, Shavasana. So you can see on the upper right how this person has something over the eyes. To have a little bit of weight on the eyes and darkness over the eyes takes you deeper into the internal universe. Support under the cervical spine and under the head, and support under the knees to alleviate any kind of pressure on the lower back. And then on the lower left-hand corner, you see what I call the building of a house. I love these. So, you know, she's got a blanket on her front body, hands inside of blankets, and you can see that there's another blanket across the thighs. And I mean, she's got a whole camp here going on. The one on the right is Iyengar himself. And I love the weights. Like, we all know that compression is very soothing, right? So compression on the upper thighs can be very soothing when we have nervous energy, right? Like nerve endings that are very open and external, right? So the weights actually bring everything back in through compression. These are other variations in both positions. You can see that she's got her thighs belted in, so there's no external rotation in the legs. Two bolsters back to back with a blanket over them. And the bolster on the top goes all the way up to under the shoulders, and she's got the arms overhead. That can be very strong for a lot of people, so sometimes I'll suggest taking the hands over each elbow and, you know, cutting short the distance there and taking the arms overhead. And if the reach back is too much, you can always put something behind your head that the elbows or arms can rest on. And then the Viparita Dandasana at the bottom shows the edge of the bolster under the heart. These are all variations of legs at the wall. Viparita Karani, the upper left. Again, taking advantage of the chair, letting the legs rest. Height under the pelvis, a little bit of height under the neck and the head. On the right side, legs at the classic legs at the wall. Now, it might look passive, and it is in the upper body, to free up the breathing and to move the diaphragm. But the lower body, the legs are actually pretty dynamic. You can see the way that the feet are slightly flexed, the way that the toes are slightly flexed and open. So there is a dynamic aspect to legs at the wall. And you can quiet that down in variations. Some of you might know the butterfly pose where you bring the soles of the feet together and the knees out to the side. That's something that you can also do in legs at the wall. And you can also go out at a wide angle with the legs. And you can also squat at the wall. You could bend the knees, place the feet, and bend the knees so that it's as though you're doing a squat. That's very soothing, actually, in the hips and the pelvic region. Lower left shows Iyengar on one of his self-designed props, doing a much more dynamic version of this, right? And I'm always fascinated by the rib cage of this man because it's, you know, when you see the video, in the materials that you'll get after the call, to watch him do an inhalation is just awe-inspiring because you can see him grow and expand through the inner body in a way that, you know, you just think is impossible. And then on the lower right is another, yet another variation, right? So, you know, you can, I called it building a house, right? So you can build a house to support your breathing practice, and it can be as simple as lying on the floor or lying on the floor, rolling up a towel, putting it under your neck, to something a little more dynamic like this. Okay. So, does anybody have any questions or any observations?
could you show us? So one of the things, the questions on there was when the belly should stick out. Like Claudia thought the belly should stick out on the inhale and not the exhale. And so would you, are you in a position that you can show us the position of your belly and where the diaphragm should be during that position of the breath?
Yeah, so if everybody could take an upright seated position and place your hand on your lower belly and place your hand on your heart. And again, there's a north-south energy here that we're talking about. So if the two sit bones can come towards the edge of the seat of the chair, you're going to find that you're going to have a little more tilt in the pelvis that's going to support the spine being upright. If the pelvis is tilting forward, you'll feel the lower back rounding. If it's tilted back, you can feel the curve in the lower back. So let's everybody start with tilting the pelvis back. So you almost feel a super pronounced curve in your lower back. And then feel your two sit bones and lower them straight down towards your support. And then extend your tailbone down into that support. And then you should feel that full moon rising in the belly. So that's always a foundational move in any kind of seated breathing practice, grounding the pelvis. And then place your hand on the lower belly, and I'm going to give you the prompt of a big Buddha belly inhalation. Let the belly release out as you inhale and breathe through the nose and keep taking the breath up into the rib cage and spend a little bit of time around the rib cage, allowing the front, back, and sides of the rib cage to expand. And then see if you can take the breath all the way up into the heart and into the throat, and a slight pause at the top of the breath, and then exhale from the heart down through the rib cage, really savoring the exhalation. Take it all the way down to the lower belly and press the belly back towards the spine like a deep massage on the full exhalation. And then inhale, let the belly release out. Take it up into the rib cage. Fill out the front, back, and sides of the rib cage. Bring it up into the heart and the throat. Slight pause at the full inhalation, and then exhale from the heart down through the throat, or sorry, down through the rib cage. And down to lower belly as it gently presses back towards the spine, massaging, and then big Buddha belly inhale. Travel it up into the rib cage, and then into the heart. Keep the fullness in the inner body that you just created with the inhalation, and then exhale from the heart, down through the rib cage, and down to lower belly as it presses back towards the spine. Good. And release. One other thing that you can do is take your hands to your rib cage, because many people have difficulty making the transition from the initial inhalation in the lower belly and having enough distribution of inhalation to bring it up into the rib cage. So actually holding your rib cage and feeling it expand is a great way to connect with that. And then having your hand at your heart. So you're feeling those three parts of your body at different times to feel the distribution of the breath. Does that make sense? Did I answer Claudia's question?
Hey, Susan, it's Claudia here. Hi. Sorry, let me show my video. So, yeah, I I teach yoga too, and I teach it exactly like you did, but it is an inflation in the belly in the inhale, like the diaphragm goes down and the, you know, the rib cage and the belly expand. But the drawing you had in your presentation, the, you know, that side profile view showed like the belly expanding on the exhale. That was confusing. I think that's what I was referring to.
There are varying points of view about that, Claudia.
Okay.
Yeah, and I don't quite get it. I'm not sure which slide you're referring to.
Toward the end, and it was a profile view, like an illustration of an inhale and exhale and how the diaphragm looked like. It was very subtle, but you could see on the outline of that body.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was one of the last slides, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually reversed with the diaphragm moving down and the diaphragm moving up. Huh.
That's why I was confused.
Yeah, that is confusing. I didn't realize that. It's very subtle, though.
So it wasn't anything you said. It was just that drawing that kind of threw me off. That's all.
Okay. Yeah, no. So definitely when you inhale, the diaphragm travels south as the breath travels north. And then as the breath travels south, the diaphragm travels north. So you've got these two polar opposite ends of energy moving. Thank you for pointing that out. Anybody else?
I really enjoyed this because it, like you said, breath is so important. And we get so caught up in all the other details of life, we forget to see if we're even breathing and where that breath is being held in our body. And that's just a foundational piece to our health, kind of like chewing is to our digestion. And mm-hmm. And so I'm really grateful to this to show how this one piece is so important. So I really thank you for that.
You're welcome.
In preparation for the full moon yesterday, and I like to do some salutations on Sundays anyway, because it's Sunday. So that just always reminds me of the importance of that breath. So anybody else have any questions, any experience with this as you went through all of this? How did you feel? Did you feel like your circulation in any part of your body, any energy in a particular part of your body? Did you feel a constriction? Like it's like, wow, I can't even breathe there. What awareness did you feel in your body as you did this breathing? Like conscious breathing. So yeah, Rich says,
wow.
When running fast, you need to push the belly out on inhaling or you get side cramp doing the opposite.
Oh, that's interesting.
Now I have to pay attention. I almost do.
Did anybody? What was that, Lynn?
I said when I run, I almost do like a pumping action with my breathing.
Yeah, me too. Did anybody notice whether their inhalation or exhalation was shorter than the other? Like they had more inhalation than exhalation? Or vice versa?
My exhalation is always longer, and I'm always like pushing it further and further in to just get that last little bit out.
Yeah. And then did anybody notice the transition, was it accessible to take the breath from the belly into the rib cage and then up into the heart region? Like, could you actually feel the journey of the breath moving up that way and moving back down? Or did you feel like it kind of got stuck in a certain place, and were you able to move through it? I see Barbara. Yes, I could feel the journey of the breath.
Barbara also wanted to know, she said she's amazed how many functions the diaphragm influences. How often would one do this practice and for how long?
What was the question? Oh, here we go. How often should one do this practice and for how long? So every day. One thing that my first yoga teacher used to say way back when was always pay yourself first. And if that means getting up earlier in the morning to pay yourself first before you take care of everybody else around you, take that time because it's valuable. And you can do it just lying in bed. You can do a breathing practice lying in bed, right? Just placing one hand on lower belly, placing one hand on the heart, or move your pillows out of the way overhead and hold your elbows and take your arms overhead, because you really want the breath to move up into here, right? Like, I tell my students that the breath comes all the way up into the armpit. Like, you can feel it even expanding your neck. So you could practice it lying down, and then if you ever got comfortable sitting up in bed, and you can sit in a cross-legged position, you could lean against your bedpost, but make sure the spine is straight. Then you can do what we call alternate nostril breathing. That's a very nice practice. I think I shared that last year on the FNC call. So I would say 5 to 10 minutes every morning. And the really beautiful thing about that is that because you've practiced it, you'll catch yourself in the middle of the day holding your breath, and you'll identify it immediately and know to move out of that, right? But if you're not practicing conscious breathing, you're not going to have the contrast to know when you're holding your breath as well, right? You go more into just, the muscle hasn't been toned, let's put it that way. The conscious awareness muscle, but also the muscle of the diaphragm. And you're gonna find that you're gonna have better digestion, less anxiety, less depression. I mean, as Iyengar says, the breath is the king of the mind. It really is. So,
yeah, that's just, I can really speak for myself. The first thing I do in the morning, outside of putting my hand in my heart to make sure my heart's still beating, is to feel my breath. And honestly, sometimes I'm more aware of my breath before I actually feel my heartbeat. And, you know, that reminds me, you know, what's the first thing we do when we're born? We take that breath.
Yeah. And it's always the breath breathing us, right? The breath is breathing us. We, you know, you can try to hold your breath, and at some point the breath is going to go and say, okay, it's time to inhale again, you know? Like, it's something bigger than us. It is a gift. It's free. This is what I love about the breath. It's free. You can do it any time, and it transforms the energy immediately. You know, if you're feeling stressed or crappy or tired or achy, I mean, whatever it is, you can transform that energy through conscious breathing.
Yeah.
It's that low-hanging fruit.
There was something I was going to say. You know, and that Lynn Rose wrote self-limiting, and like you had said at the beginning, it brings up, it shifts energy so that we feel things. And it can release some of those shadow pieces of ourselves, that those fears that we might not otherwise look at. And the breath is just so amazing. Rich says a lot depends on your lung capacity and how much you can inhale. Look at the opera singers who have large torsos. But I also know some amazing opera singers who, you know, we have this idea of a large woman being an opera singer, but I know some pretty svelte opera singers, and their capacity is actually based on their diaphragmatic action more than it is the size of their lungs.
Uh-huh. I noticed, Lynn, when I had my car accident and I broke my sternum, and I had trouble breathing for a number of months, and I lost my lung capacity. Being an athlete, I used to have a good lung capacity for all the cardio activity that I did, but I was astonished on how long it took me to come back to where I am now to get that breathing back. So I had, you know, they gave me those instruments where I had to improve my lung capacity, which had to do with obviously drawing on the diaphragm and bringing it up a lot to match what you're talking about this evening. And it took me months before I could get my breathing back. And then it's just the practice that you're talking about on a daily basis, which makes great sense in order to continue that and get the benefits with which again, what you're describing this evening, which is fabulous. That's all I wanted
That's
to add.
That's awesome. That's a great share. Thank you. You know, perfect example of how some kind of a physical injury can affect your breathing. Some kind of emotional injury can affect your breathing. And it's in there. We don't even know that it's there. The breath is breathing us, but we're not really connecting with it in a conscious way. And that muscle tone of the diaphragm can get lost, you know. And I really feel that the inner space is the final frontier, right? The inner space. And the thing that I wanted to share with you was that I had gone to see the doctor a few weeks ago, and you know how they always take your vitals. I can lower my blood pressure through my breathing when I'm at the doctor's. You know how they say that, you know, you have a higher blood pressure reading when you're in a medical office. You can understand why, because everyone around you is totally unhealthy looking. It's just such a weird environment to be in. But I can close my eyes and do deep breathing, and it's low. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. So it really is not just the king of the mind, it's also the king of the body.
Yeah. Kathy had her hand up.
I just want to say that just due to a radiation treatment for cancer, the second time around, it was in a tumor was in a left lung. And eventually, 19 months later, that whole lung completely collapsed, flat as a pancake. Did a stent insert briefly. It reinflated. Didn't last long. My body didn't like the stent. We took it out. My body was very happy. But my right lung has expanded to 1.5 times its original size. And then the esophagus just moved over, kind of curvy a little bit to the left. And I don't know if this exists everywhere, but I feel very, very blessed to have found a woman that professionally calls herself a breath facilitator. Now, I had done enough yoga to know that breath work is, for me, is a part of yoga and a great way to start yoga or start the day or anything when you need it. But she does, she was a trained masseuse,
but she doesn't do massage, yet she touches my body, a fully clothed body, but she does a lot of different motions to get things to wake up. I feel like at the end of a 1 hour session, when I take a deep breath, I feel like it could continue nearly forever and almost breathe in all the air of the whole room after she's kind of loosened up tendons and muscles. And unfortunately, unlike Rich, I'm still working on finding creative ways to restore, you know, endurance and stamina with my lungs. But because my legs are challenged and I use a walker, I am not able to get out there and walk briskly and get, you know, or run like I used to run. So I'm looking always for new ways to have that stamina and not be out of breath after doing just a couple of simple tasks, because that wasn't my past, but it is my present. But this breath facilitator, she visits all kinds of people, whether they're in the hospital or in their home. I happen to go to her home, which is professional. But I don't know if such a thing exists broadly, if it's a great thing to do after you've had a surgery or after a trauma or so many things. And I just thought I'd mention that resource. She happens to be in Portland, Oregon. So if you were traveling through and interested, she's available. But anyway, I just wanted to share my experience, how adaptable the lung is and how much just working with it can help expand your lung capacity.
Yeah, thank you. You know, and just like everything else, this is just my thought as I hear you talking. Nothing ever works in isolation. So it's not just your lung capacity. It's that use of that diaphragmatic, that muscle. And what you shared about the storage of it, that was really, that gives me some pause. And I'm going to go back and look some more at that.
Yeah, it can harden, right? What happens when we contract, when we harden? We're not in our hearts. We're reacting to something that's happened to us. I mean, ultimately, the purpose of conscious breathing is so that we can be in our hearts, so that we can be in a state of grace every day. And, you know, I'm not an angel. I don't pretend to be. I have my stress levels. But if I can have a little bit of grace at some point during the day or increments during the day, and I can be in my heart, then that's, you know, that's all I can ask for. Somebody was asking me to share the way to lower your blood pressure at the doctor's office. Pretty much what we just did. I think Kathy was trying to say something.
So I want to say I would second what you said about your visit at the doctor. I've been doing it for years, probably, well, more than 10 years, but after I started doing more yoga, and I just knew my breath, and I actually also kind of mentally visualized something just very calm and beautiful. I take a few deep breaths, and even upon a rare occasion, but recently, she ended up taking my blood pressure both at the beginning of the visit and the end, but most of the time, I can lower it just for that first vitals check, and if I didn't do the breath work, it's usually at least 10 to sometimes even 15 bit higher. And then I think, oh, shoot, I forgot to do my breath work first. So it's very powerful. And I feel very easy once you just learn how, oh, let it relax. Let this breath or the next couple of breaths relax me. Mm-hmm. And then it brings that blood pressure down.
Yeah, and also
it works with the dentist.
Oh, yeah. But it also changes your height. When they measure your height, I can grow by an inch. If I've done a pranayama practice that morning, I can grow by an inch. That's how expansive the breath can make the inner body. It's this whole upper region, you know, because gravity is kind of taking us this way, right? And you're using the breath to take it the other way. And of course, all the other things, muscle strengthening, circulation. But yeah, deep breathing will actually change your posture. It'll make you taller. You'll see when you see the Iyengar YouTube video, he grows from the inside like a balloon.
Wow. I know Barbara wanted to know if it can do something for your blood sugar. It can.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, if conscious breathing is taking you into parasympathetic, right, that's going to affect your blood sugar for sure.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. It'll affect your sleep. It'll affect everything. I mean, a lot of us are also familiar with heart math. It's basically the same thing. Yogic breathing practices there's so many different varieties, many of which I wouldn't even recommend to most people because you have to be a fairly advanced practitioner to do that. A lot of it a lot of the fiery stuff I wouldn't recommend because it can be agitating to the mind. But if applied in the right setting with the right kind of client, it can be very effective. But the gentle breathing, even just if you were to divide up the lower belly, the rib cage region, and the heart region into three parts breathing. So let's say on your inhalation, you start at the lower belly and you go 3 seconds, and then you bring it up into the rib cage for another 3 seconds, and then you bring it up into the heart for another 3 seconds, and then the same way out, 3 seconds out through the heart, 3 seconds through the rib cage, 3 seconds through lower belly. And each time you do this, you're making more space so that you can lengthen the span of time. 3 seconds becomes 4 seconds. 4 seconds become 5 seconds. So you can expand on your inhalations and exhalations as you begin to strengthen that diaphragmatic muscle.
Yep.
I call it building a house of prana. I'll call it inner body bright. I'll call it lighting up the inner body like a Christmas tree. You're just lighting things up from the inside. And again, it's free. I'm telling you, it's more effective than a bottle of supplements.
Now, Susan, when you talk about the number of seconds and the different levels you spoke of, you're talking about all this on one inhaling breath. Is that correct?
Yeah.
I guess I got to practice.
So steady breath brings a steady mind, right? So if you can consciously, like I said earlier, many of us have the breath coming to us more easily in certain parts of the body. Most of us are living in our lower chakras anyway, right? So the breath tends to be more accessible in the lower belly. It's taking it up into the higher realms that's more challenging. And a lot of it is just developing the skill of how to distribute the breath evenly. And you start, even if you need to start with 2 seconds in each area, you're learning how to spread it evenly through those three parts. Right? So everybody would start, at their own level. I usually start at 3 seconds with people. And, you can place your hand on your lower belly. You can place it on your rib cage. You can place it on your heart so you can feel the breath, having the actual sensation of touching it. Oh, I like what Lynn says here. It affects the pH. It's true. You know, a tactile way of feeling your breath, I think, also helps. You know, because again, it's this ethereal thing. Like, what is it? How is it, you know, how is it moving through me? You have to feel it.
You know, Rich, with your dancing, being aware of your breath is going to affect the quality of your dance because it's going to help you to be even more present with you and your partner. And that has been my experience.
It's good to know.
Yeah, so as everybody's sitting here, can you feel your breathing pattern? Is anybody feeling a little more free in their breathing, or are they feeling contracted? You know, just notice. You know, a lot of this is just practicing it and then connecting with it at another time of the day and understanding, okay, now I'm contracting. You know, now I'm bearing down here. My diaphragm's not moving. And I think I'll just let it, you know, move. Let the breath move through you. It's a free gift.
Hmm. You know, Claudia is talking about the effect with her vision clients. And one of the things, again, this just shows the beauty of how the body works synchronistically with itself, is that, you know, our vision is related to our liver and our digestion. And how does your breath affects your digestion? So it's going to help with the improvement of your vision. And so, again, coming to that foundational peace within your body is going to be, I think you'll find the quality of any parts that you do within ERC will be enhanced by all of this. But it requires a consistent daily practice. And that's a mindful thing.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you're going to have better BMs, right? It's great for peristalsis, great for digestion. You're going to have better sex, that's for sure. Right. You know, I mean, it really enhances everything. I'm telling you, how many women have I known that have, you know, developed healthier sex lives through breathing practice, right? It's just, you know, learning how to relax. And that's why I say, pay yourselves first in the morning. That's when I do everything, first thing in the morning, because I know if I don't do that, it's over. Like, I've lost the opportunity. So, yeah, breathing, your heart math, meditation, movement, whatever your movement is, you know. And if it's running, if it's doing some kind of, you know, high aerobic movement, please don't forget to breathe, because we see that happening to so many people, right? It's like, okay, I'm getting my cardio on, and they're not breathing. They're totally contracted. It negates the purpose of the whole thing. Hardening is not where we want to go. We want to soften, right? And just think of that yin and yang aspect of the diaphragm, right? It commands nourishment to the body. I love that. I love how it commands nourishment. It can be very yang and it can be very yin. And we all have that in us too, you know? Just like that gymnast. Did you guys see the footage of that gymnast?
I thought I did.
No?
I'll have to look it
up. Oh my God.
I'll put it on the ARC page.
I think she's Japanese American, and she brought floor work to a completely different level. I mean, she was just so joyous. So she was very playful and very joyous. And then when it came time for her to command the floor with all these, I mean, she did stuff I've never seen anybody do. But to see her go, right, and then just sprint and then go into all these flips, it was really incredible. Like, that was where the exhalation was.
Yeah. This is the one I was thinking, Caitlin Ohashi.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys have to see that. It's incredible. I've never seen anybody do what she's done. We'll include that in the links. Let's see. So tight in the belly that one asks them to inhale deeply, it's all chest breathing, leaving them with a frozen neck and shoulders. Oh, okay. So Claudia, very interesting transition from belly to chest when doing a full yogic breath. I have a way. Does anybody feel like that, like you're tight in the belly and that your breath is only in your chest? Is anybody feeling like that?
Not right now.
Oh, Kathy, sorry, you're muted.
Sometimes, yes. I think stress and pressure, I just tend to go to that shallow, shallow breathing. But there is sometimes some tightness too. But I think that's our culture tends to be breathing up here and not taking these lovely, relaxed, deeper breaths or other ways to breathe because you start living up here too much or up here. And it seems to bring the breath up. Not, I don't like it, but.
Yeah. One thing that I'll do if I'm feeling locked up here, and usually I'll get locked up here if I'm on the computer for too long or if I'm in my head for too long. If you were to just raise your arms overhead and take your elbows, right, and inhale, and then exhale, you're just going to go to one side and turn your head a little bit to that side, and then inhale up, and then exhale, you would turn to the other side and turn your head gently in that direction, and then inhale up, and then exhale, turn to the other side. I find that that helps to unlock, and then the other thing that helps is I'm going to put my hands in what I call temple position, like this. And what I'll do is go over to one side, but then I'll actually tilt my rib cage on that side, on the right side, to the back plane. So I'll breathe into the back plane of my rib cage, inhaling, and then I'll exhale and open it out. So I'm actually reversing the breath from what most people think you should be exhaling this way and inhaling this way, but I'll inhale this way and breathe into my back body and then open up the front body on the exhalation. So that tends to help me get into opening up the chest and the throat and the neck. You know, we all get locked up in this area. So that's something that you guys could try. And again, if the arm thing is too much, just take it halfway, you know. But breathe into the rib cage back, inhaling, and then exhale, open it up. And that'll really get things moving. We get locked up in the rib cage, right? That's why I was saying it's always nice to grab your rib cage and actually move it around. This is another nice thing to do. If you hold your rib cage with your hands and just do some figure eights with it, that's a nice way to unlock the breath You know, we're just finding different ways of accessing it. So you do figure eights in one direction and figure eights in the other direction. And another really nice thing to do is roll up a towel and place it behind your heart and lie back on that. Make sure that your chin remains in a neutral position. If it's jolted back like this, you want to just put a little bit of padding underneath it so it's in line with your shoulders. But having your chest open and starting first just with the arms by your side, but then eventually as you can increase the volume of the breath, then you would take the arms overhead. So those are all really nice prompts of getting the breath into the heart region.
These are great. I think what's nice too is that you can do it anywhere and it doesn't take very long.
Oh, here, there, Lynn just put the link in. Thank you. Answered this already, but how often each day should we practice our breathing? You mentioned the morning, but more throughout the day. Okay. Yeah, so didn't get the last exercise, but the simple first one might be enough right now. Barbara, we're probably going to do something on our small group coaching call together. And then to answer the question for Jean, 5 to 10 minutes in the morning. And if you have time to do it throughout the day, just pause for 5 minutes and just do some of that ribcage work that I was showing you, especially if you've been I mean, who here does not sit in front of a computer every day, right? It's so common now. And so it's good to take 5 minutes. You know, what happens as we age is this, right? Shoulders collapse forward. We get kyphosis in the upper back. You know, we really, and the breathing suffers from that, right? So getting that rib cage moving and getting all of this stuff freed up in the upper body is really critical. I think more so, obviously the lower body is important, but it's the upper body I feel that's getting most of the abuse, most of the daily abuse through our habits.
Yeah.
Does anybody else have any questions? Well, thanks for coming, everybody, on Martin Luther King Day.
There you go.
Yeah.
I have a dream that we all breathe fully. Kind of going along with Dr. Rita Marie, happy, healthy people don't fight. And I would add to that, people who fully breathe feel love for each other. So, yeah. This is just a great awareness for us to feel ourselves. Yeah.
Good. Thanks for coming, everybody. I really appreciate it. And I'll make sure you guys have the PDF of my presentation and the link.
We'll get that link. Yep. So.
Yeah. Did you want me to put that link in the chat now?
Sure.
Would that be better? Sure. Okay. Let me do that now. Okay. Where's not everyone? Okay. There. Okay, there's the link. It might be a little hard to understand him at the beginning, but it gets a little bit better as he goes on. It's really just the sound of his breath that's so incredible. And the kind of breath that he's applying is called Ujjayi, which some of you may or may not have heard of. Ujjayi is it's like the sound of the ocean, but it's also like like the sound of fogging the mirror, but your mouth is closed. So you create a slight closing at the back of the throat. And that's a very nice audible way of connecting with your breath. That's very nice. So you can hear him do that in his demonstration. All right. Everybody have a good evening. Thank you for coming.
Yeah. Thank you. We've got
thank you, Lynn.
Lots of good resources. And I really thank you, Susan, for this. This is just what I needed to bring me present.
Thank you. I'm sorry about the technical difficulties. I'm going to have to reach Zoom.
You know what? It was gave us a reason to breathe.
All right.
All right.
Good night, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.